First Sunday. For me, welcoming someone in faith through baptism is the highest, is the pinnacle, is the greatest moment in someone's life and probably in the church life. So, talking about hospitality also can mean what we just saw. There is no deepest, closest intimacy with the body of Christ than that. So for that, I also pray our God. One of our texts was just read, well read, probably much better than I would do. And having that in mind, having that concept in mind, a welcoming God, a God who is really hospitable, a God who invites us to be his family, even not being the greatest guest, we are not, but he made us feel welcome and worthy of his presence. So open heart, open home, the hospitable way to make others feel welcome and wanted. Five or six years ago, I preached it under the same topic. Unfortunately, when lost, I couldn't find it. So I have to work hard again. Yeah, I thought I was going to have some more easier task. But that was great because I have learned so much. And I hope you do too. So today we are going to go on this talk on the series of family under the theme of hospitality. What is the biblical concept of hospitality? And what do we have to do with it? Certainly, we may ask ourselves, do I have any obligation with the homeless, the stranger, the displaced, refugees, and foreigners? And what about those that because of their faith, like the Canaan people, who has been persecuted and kicked out of their land because of their faith. They've been displaced from their home, city, or even country. The answer for those, without any apology, is yes. Yes, you and I, we have obligations, responsibilities of those. And what if one of these days, someone knocks your door saying, I have no place to go. I have to stay here for a day or a couple of days, weeks or so. What would you do? That just happened with me and Lani, and we gave a day in for a stranger. But I agree. It's a tough request. It's a difficult matter. Not many of us can handle it for various reasons. Safety, security, way of living. But in other words, what is hospitality about? Is there any addition to that? Yes, for sure. A welcoming heart, home, and church as hospitable, safe, and loving place. In other words, we want to know a little bit theoretically, because I preached so long ago, and practical, what is all about and what additions we can have. There are levels of it, but for sure, an open door, a hug, a cough brewing, a dinner cooking in the oven, Christian hospitality, is all of that and more. And I believe, like in my heart, that what wasn't always like that, the Holy Spirit can work in and through you, through us, to make others feel welcome and wanted. Whether you are a constructor guy, a trade guy, a student, a housewife, a business executive, an engineer, a nurse, a doctor, talented or not so much, the Bible will give us encouragement and skills that we need to reach out with the gospel through daily acts of acceptance, belonging, and love. Definitely, Jesus was welcomed in many homes, in many houses. And in those places, he ate, he drank, he talked, he accepted, he taught, he preached, he healed, he slept. His deepest moments of intimacy and lessons, like communion, was indoor in someone's house. As we talked, God is a welcome God, welcoming and receiving all of us, despite of our lack of standards to His holiness. Let me share with you shortly, and that's part of why I'm here today, tell some stories. This story is about Chris Kovac's testimony. How many of you know Chris Kovac? Some of you, yeah. Chris is the outreach pastor of West Highland Baptist Church who oversees all the evangelism and strategies of growth in his own church. And as well, he gives leadership for many other few organizations, such as Hamilton Challenge, that we've been part of. He is an amazing evangelist, a door-to-door preacher, who has trained many, equipped, and actually he trained myself as well. But it wasn't always like that. He wasn't always a pastor or a preacher or evangelist. As many of us, like myself, he wasn't a believer, a disciple of Christ for 20 years and so in his life. But one day, in the university campus, through what we call today the power to change, as a student, he got to know, he heard the gospel. That time he was athletic, good looking, but he was a very nice guy, very athletic, sportive, football player, but proud young man. But then he got to know Christ, and everything changed in his life. He was now a born-again Christian, but not knowing how to live as such. He approached one of the leaders that some of us know as well, Ragnar, and he said to Ragnar, "Ragnar, how can I live and be like Christ? I don't know." Ragnar at front said, "Come and live with me for a year, and you will know, you will see, and you will be like him." What a powerful statement. Come and live with me, and I will show how to be like Christ. To make the long story short, he did it. And he became this faithful Christ-likeness servant of Christ we know today. All that was only possible because the hospitality practiced by Ragnar Truers Kovac, in the deepest commitment by welcoming him in his home, sharing life, modeling life, loving and living Christ. What the Bible says about hospitality. I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit to talk to you, make us better in this way. I'm not going to be expository preacher today, and I prefer to go in deep in each verse, but I'm going to throw lots of those that actually bring us the concept. First, Matthew 25, 37 to 40. There are two parts. I'm going to read now the positive part. Those who practice it, even without knowing, and was promised a reward by Jesus. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirst and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. So hospitality is known as entertaining and welcoming guests or visitors. It is in a way a genuine way to show love for others, even strangers, poor, weak, maybe kids. Jesus tells us that whatever we do for the least of people, we do for him. Whatever. A water, a cheese. Remember this illustration I gave you once? I can give you again. This poor guy, lame guy, paraplegic guy was begging something. And I thought, oh, he wants to be healed. So I asked him, what can I do for you? What Jesus can do for you? Waiting him to ask for healing. He says, a coffee and cheese. I says, right away, I'm going to buy and bring it to you. For me, it was much easier to bring cheese and coffee than heal the man. Sometimes it's things like that. Leviticus 19:33 and 4 says, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, and today we have a lot. After the last research I read, Hamilton is receiving more foreigners and displaced persons, refugees that we can hold. So when they be among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were strangers in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter 4:8 to 10. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in its various forms. So it is a proactive act. I do not need to wait for a request. It is supposed not to be doing with reserves or complaint or murmuring, arguing, neither forced. It is the good usage of the gifts we've just heard and learned that God has granted us with to serve others. John 13. A new command I give you. Love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. God's two great commandments are to love God and to love others. To love everyone equally as a true sign of our love for God and our desire to live Christ-like. If we are to be followers of Christ, we have to imitate him to reproduce what he was. Romans 12:13, 15:2, 16:23 says this, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself. We live in a generation that always is about me, selfish, ego-centered. Christ was not about it. He was other-centered, altruistic. For even Christ did not please himself. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the some of the church, no, the whole church, and this is not a hyperbolic, exaggerated language, it's not metaphorical. It's true, because his house was big. So Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, send you his greetings. 1 Timothy. Now, the overseas is to be above reproach, faithful, to his wife, temperate, self-control, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. So one of the qualifications in Timothy and Titus about the elders, the deacons, the overseers, as well as to be hospitable. Hebrew, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. So interesting, this text. It can be forgotten. That's why it's there. Do not forget to show. It has to be shown. It's not a theory. It's not something I just wish. It's something I do. Show hospitality in your manners, in your attitudes, with your welcoming eyes, maybe with your hands, shake hands, hug, maybe bringing them close to you. Refers as well here to Abraham and his three visitors. Maybe one was Jesus, or the Son of God, as one of his show up in the Old Testament. It includes visits to prison, maybe refugee camps, maybe hospitals. Now, in this moment, our elder and brother Klose, the one who interprets for us every Sunday, he's been over a month in Thailand. Why? Because one of the wives of one of our members was caught in the airport before coming to Canada. It's everywhere in the news, it's in the website, in the Facebook. It was news in Canada. She waited 9 years to be reunited with her husband. They got married in the campus. He got visa to come as refugee. She never got it. There was a misunderstanding. She waited. She obeyed. She was given permission 3 months ago. But then she got the wrong people to do her passport and came to be they were criminals. She didn't know. She doesn't know how to read it. She read the language. She doesn't know how to read Thailand or whatever language they speak. She's current. She went to prison. Klose is there. The husband is there. They have a 5-year-old kid. They ask us today to pray for them. Sometimes that's what hospitality requires. And that's why Klose is there with all his family and the guys there. She's going to be in prison at least 3 more months. And once she'll be released, 6 more months. So it's complicated. 3 John 1. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that they may work together for the truth. It amazes me how the first Christians embraced hospitality. In some extent, they basically host all church in their house. During Jesus' public ministry, you could follow the text later on, he and his disciples depended entirely on the hospitality of others as they ministered from town to town. Likewise, the early Christian church also depend on and receive hospitality from others. They were like dispersed, scattered, sent away. Some or many of from Jerusalem lost their homes. They were persecuted. They need other brothers to host them for a while. So the early Christian church depend on them. In fact, travelers of ancient world was like that. So that's why the Bible always asks us to welcome them. Isaiah, when he speaks about a spiritual journey, says this, is not this kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wandered with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have coffees on, the hub. That's why we have nice, gentle clothes to be given away. That's why we have food bank. That's why we have a small group. Because even though I am the community pastor, I have so many to visit. There are so many in the church. Nobody can hold all that. So small groups, shepherd each other, care for each other, provide hot meals for the mothers that just delivered babies, for the sick, acts an amazing story of salvation and hospitality. Then they spoke the word, them who, Paul and Silas, the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And that hour of the night, the jailer that before was holding Paul and Silas took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them in into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. I was thinking, how long do we need to be able to welcome and bring others to our home? In this case, without any training, without any discipleship, he was just baptized, like today we saw Anthony. He and his family were baptized. He was the bad actor in his picture. He mistreated Paul or under his authority. But now, he discerned immediately and he healed the man and without any training, invited him, gave them seat, food, cleaned his wounds, fed them, took them to the family and fed them well. Didn't need any more time. I know it's unique. I know it's a story or history that all of us know, the God's action. Anyway, I leave it there. And we could go on and on with a lot of examples. Simon the Turner, who Peter stayed many days, and many others. Lydia, that hosts a house church, just after she was baptized, she says, "Am I worthy to have you come into my home?" Philemon from Colossae was known to have his open home. Gaius, both were very welcoming, and one actually from Corinth would host the whole church. How do we understand that? So hospitality can be defined as the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, generous way. In the New Testament, and that's the only thing I remember from the last time, The Greek word translated hospitality literally means love strangers. You see? Philo, friend. Xenos, strangers are foreigning. Love is strangers. Go next. So the Bibles, to make the long story short, tell us to be hospitable. It's my duty, it's your duty, in one way or another way. Being extrovert as me and Duane, or being not as much. Hospitality is this virtue that both is commanded and commended. It should be our identity, our calling, something to be pursued, some pre-qualification for an elder and pastor. Should be done lovingly, voluntarily, and most courteous, kindly, entertaining strangers and travelers, easily, handsome manner. So, Alex Strauch, in his book, and actually there are plenty of books. When I didn't find my former message, I went after books, and there are plenty in Amazon, Christian books about it. And this one I bought digitally. So he wrote The Hospitality Commands. And he gave us a few examples why we should listen to message like this, why we should learn and practice hospitality at the church. He tells tons of stories. I just have a couple of them. He tells that while he was on vacation, he had an opportunity to visit a couple who had previously attended his church and home Bible studies, but moved away. They were concerned about their spiritual warfare. They were delighted to learn when they met them that they were living for the Lord and that they were actively involved in a small local church. Nevertheless, he says, they were heartbroken. They were not feeling part of the church because over the year, for a year, they've been in all the services, in all the worships, no single person, non spiritual leader have invited them for a meal or for a time of fellowship. That's why we should learn. Maybe we can make the same mistake. May I give an example, and I don't want to diminish me or expose somebody, but I met a couple here. Paul said, did you know them? So I've seen them maybe twice. And then I came to them and say, I'm seeing you and I don't know your names. And my name is Marsh. I'm the community pastor. I think you've been here a couple of weeks. They say, yeah, almost 9 months. For my surprise. Maybe can happen with you. Maybe you don't know how to know who is in the last seat. But at least you should know who is next to us. In 6 billion of people, somebody is sitting next to me, and I don't know his name. I don't know what is going on. Maybe that's the day he says, God, if you don't talk to me, if nobody approach me, I can do this or that. So he writes about an elderly lady, single woman, who was currently attending the church, his church, but she was attending his church currently. But before she was attending his church, this pastor church, she had been at church for 4 years. And because she lived far somehow from the church, she had to commute for an hour by bus. And because she loved the Lord and loved the church, loved the teaching, she would go in for the morning service and wait for the evening service. What she was going to do? She wouldn't go home. So she would go after the morning service for a restaurant to eat. And then either she would go to a park or to a library to make the time until she got back to the evening service. And she did it for 4 years, every single Sunday. One day, she got sick and tired. She moved the church because for 4 years, nobody invited me in. I believe this doesn't happen here. I'm sure it doesn't. But could with somewhere, 4 years. This pastor himself says, I preach a lot. I have invitation. I'm guest speaker in many churches. For the last 25 years, I've been gone for many churches. Sometimes I drive 3 or 4 hours. And this is what happens, at least with him. He says, in 25 years, it's hard to believe, unless he's lying, but it's written in his book. It says, for 25 years, people enjoyed my message, said good things about what I preached, shaked my hands. Somebody granted me a good check to pay my expenses. But nobody in these 25 years invited me after to have a meal with them before I go home, driving back 3 more hours. Of course, he would eat anywhere, but alone. So, isn't that staggering? Don't we think something is quite wrong with some of us or some actual Christianity that we are preaching? Let us watch this short video. I hope it works. Maybe everybody has watched it. It was a Canadian movie about this digital era that sometimes connect us with the far ones, with the past, our past, but doesn't help with the closest one. Let's see if it works. Is there a place down that you can click? No. I made sure the link is there and I have a spare one, but if it doesn't work, okay. We watch later. I send you a link. It's an amazing 2-minute award video. What should we do then? We should practice hospitality gladly. There are some hints maybe I can give you about hospitality. But we should advance beyond the theory level. Actually, Dave, it's a great movie for moving, you know? The movie is about everybody's connected with cell phone. They end up in a floor. One has the idea, why not me and my daughter put the table and invite the other neighbors? So end up this video, everybody's bringing their food, and the long corridor become like a banquet thing. It's an amazing moving idea. Let's pray ahead how to invite people and plan ahead how to invite people to our table. I know we have it. Okay, sorry, is there sound? Thank you. Isn't that amazing? I hope you've seen it. It was part of the celebration of the 150 years of Canada. Eat together. Isn't that simple? So simple. And you're going to have a multicultural diversity of food. Isn't that amazing? Everybody was in. So maybe for some of us it's so easy. But for most, we have to plan ahead. How to invite people to our table. Maybe set a time of every week, or maybe once a month, or maybe once every other month. For instance, Elaine, we are prepared and try to do it every week. But once a year, we offer a neighbor's barbecue once a year. I can't afford once a year. Actually, Hamilton Challenge and the church has helped me with that once a year, and they love it. Now they come, one is next, so they know it's every summer once. I have help. I put some kind of, you know, shelters and gazebos and things like that. And we have like 24, 30 people. Amazing. But we need to plan. We need to bless others by opening our home. Maybe Sunday noon. Maybe after here we have fellowship together. Why don't ask a student or a stranger, someone you don't know, or someone you know but you never got together? Do you have plans for lunch today? No? So why don't we go together somewhere or home? If you go out, bring them for dessert or bring dessert in to get to know them. I tell you, I have been a time in my life that if people, not when I know Elaine, well, at the beginning too, but Sunday was my best shot to have a nice meal. Sunday was the only day I was praying, say, God, today I'm going to eat real food. I don't know where, but someone is going to invite me. I tell you, once we received a couple here, and she was in Canada suffering, struggling for a month or two. And that day, she came here, Brazilian couple, she was doing doctorate. So they were not poor people, but they were lack of intimacy and real food. So she was praying. Was Thanksgiving Day week, a week. She was praying like that. God, I'm done. If nobody invites me to this Thanksgiving dinner, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so we were introduced to this Brazilian couple who came. And then Elaine just said, do you have plans for Thanksgiving dinner? She said, no way. Okay. This Thursday, whatever day was it, worked. Make a list of people who would be encouraged by your offer of hospitality. Maybe identify some neighbors who could, you know, come for a meal. Maybe I just wrote here an example, like Poe and Diana Hovercroft's neighbors. It's John, isn't it? John. Maybe you have a John next to you or Mary next to you. Maybe you don't know how to speak Portuguese. Don't worry. Buy the meat or give them money. I buy the meat. I barbecue for you and for them. And we're going to have fun. And I tell you, this friendship is going to take off. Simple like that. I think you can do that too. Remember holiday seasons, so many. Invite. We just need a good excuse. Maybe volunteer to house missionaries when they come, or guest preachers, or summer student people, or young students. Let's be interested in people's lives. Let's think and ask this question, maybe ask them, who are our kids' friends? Of any age. Do you think only your young kids have friends? My kids have more friends now than before. And we invite them in. They sleep over. They come without any call. But it has been a great opportunity to share, to connect, to interact, and to invite them over. Maybe we need to be creative. All right, make the long story short, and I'm going to go to the end. Conclusion. So hospitality, more and more, hospitality is becoming an almost forgotten Christian virtue in our days today. Maybe there are reasons, dangers, city, crimes, we don't feel comfortable, we have so many devices and things to entertain us. For a couple of reasons, hospitality has not been seen as before. But we learn that was the way for the Christian church to survive. That was the thing that strengthened the church, helped them to reach out their neighbors and friends with the gospel. We learned that Jesus and his disciples would not have gone further without the houses they were in. The gospel wouldn't reach the Roman Empire unless they were hospitable people. There was a real life experience, but I will just leave it for another time. But I'm going to go for an outcome or a challenge for you to pray. The same Jesus that tells the parable or answered through a king who blessed those who have done things for him without knowing is the same Jesus in the same story, in the same text that says this. Then, Matthew 25, he will say to those of his left, first, he complimented, he promised reward to those who was in his right. But for those who would be in his left, he said, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Wasn't prepared for humans, but will. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger you did not invite in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away to the eternal punishment, but the righteous to the eternal life. How well or badly are we practicing hospitality? Let me pray for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the teaching from your own scripture that is enough to convince us, to teach us, to help us, to lead us into community. We thank you for all the teachings from the Old and the New Testament, the examples of your son Jesus, the examples of Martha and Maria and Lazarus, the examples of Gaius, Simon, Lydia, and others. We thank you so much that the Bible is clear about this way of reaching others, help them. Who are going to take care of the poor? Who are going to be bothered with the refugees, the new Syrian refugees are coming? Who are really doing those jobs? Who can give a warm and smile to anyone, especially those who live the faith, but also towards others that can get to know the faith to our love and hospitality? For all this, for the rewards and the dangers, for the promise of eternal life and the punishment of hell, for the way that you can use us and give us such a contentment and joyful, I pray, in the name of Jesus, with the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. Thank you for listening.